Hotline, Willie DeMace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports. DeMace, back in the fold today.
Yes, I am. Happy Tuesday to all you good people.
Happy to have you back.
I'm happy to be back, man.
And let me just say, how about those Tigers, baby? How about those Tigers?
Yes, they put it on. I mean, when you talk about a butt whooping, that was an old school grandma coming in the house. She told you not to go outside, but you went outside because the neighbors told on you. Grandma coming in the house and grandma wrecking shop on everybody. That's what LSU basically did to Florida.
I can't talk too much trash because Florida did the exact same thing to LSU the day before. But it doesn't matter because that win doesn't matter. It's only the last one that matters. Seventh natty coming back to Baton Rouge.
Oh,
two
man.
National championships in the last 3 months. Getting used to this winning championships thing. It's pretty nice. I'm enjoying it.
Can we call y'all Championship U?
Well, Joe Rexroad would like to call Tennessee Championship U.
They hadn't won a damn thing.
Even though Tennessee hadn't won a damn thing.
And I like Tennessee, but they hadn't won a damn thing.
Hadn't won a damn thing.
It's like, goodness gracious. If you're okay with being just good, then okay.
That's fine. I mean,
that's fine.
That's fine. I'm not, but you can be.
Absolutely.
You absolutely are more than welcome to be. Willie Donick joins us from Newport, Rhode Island. Willie D, how we doing?
I'm doing well. I'm going to pat myself on the back, too, because, Derek, I did tell Caroline yesterday, I kind of like where LSU is. When you get battered the day before, especially in baseball, you kind of say, you know, get all those home runs out of your system today, and then we'll come back and get you tomorrow. I've seen that happen a lot. We talked about the Rockies and the Angels over the weekend. The Angels beat the Rockies 25-1 on Saturday and then lost 4-3 on Sunday. So baseball is kind of like that. And, man, did those LSU fans have a party in the stands once they knew it was over. Once it got to 10-2 for the last five or six innings, they were going wild. They took over that place.
Well, you know what? It's really not about LSU's baseball team. It's not. And I hate to say that, Caroline, on this day. It's not about their baseball team. It's about their fans. What was it, 64,000 Jello shots?
Final tally, 68,888 Jello shots.
So I understand LSU just won a national championship. They won their World Series. But man, oh man, those fans need something.
That's the fan national championship.
Yeah, that's the fan national championship.
I think you can smell liquor all the way to Lincoln from Omaha. I mean, absolutely. Absolutely, it was a party. And it was a blast. It was a really fun team to watch this entire season. And I will say, might take it to the bank on Friday.
LSU
was going to win game one, lose game two, and then blow them out in game three. So I will give myself a little bit of credit for that. I will take my victory lap for my ticket to the bank.
Hey, Willie, does she have a DeLorean? Did she go back in time or, you know, forward in time? Because you remember how, you know, Biff had the book. And Biff was
That was part two.
Yeah, that was part two. Biff had the book.
That's what happened.
Uh-huh.
He got the book.
Caroline had the book.
I think Caroline might have had the book. She might have had the DeLorean
just
moving into the future.
A little bit of fan juju. A little something, something, a little extra fan feeling. But it was a blast of a night. We will continue on with our college baseball thoughts later on in the show. But I want to start here because we have heard from one Kevin Byard. Kevin Byard was on Bussin' with the Boys that released this morning, and he talked more, you know, candidly and in more detail than we have heard Kevin Byard talk about this entire situation, going all the way back to March, during March Madness, when we heard that the Titans asked Kevin Byard to take a pay cut. Jared reported that Kevin Byard asked to be released from the team. Mm-hmm. He didn't go to OTAs. There were all of these questions about Kevin Byard, his status with the team. Rand Carthon confirms that he asked Kevin Byard to take a pay cut. And even when Kevin Byard spoke to the media at mandatory minicamp, we were still left with a few question marks.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that we got some questions answered from Kevin Byard and his sit down with Bussin' with the Boys. This was Kevin Byard on kind of the beginning of all of this. We'll go all the way back to the beginning to when the pay cut was asked of Kevin Byard from Rand Carthon, his feelings on it, and then the subsequent reporting from there. So this was Kevin Byard on Bussin' with the Boys this morning.
When I was in Cabo and that thing happened in March, like, the conversation between the team, my agency, it happened like a month ago.
Yeah.
And so, like, I kind of already knew the situation, you know what I'm saying? So when I was on the beach, literally with my wife, kids are in you know, playing in the sand. I'm just kind of sitting back and, like, I really wasn't paying attention to my phone, but, like, people started texting my phone and, like, somebody was doing a radio show. I don't know who it was here in Nashville was like, oh, KB asked for a trade or asked to be released or something like that. It probably was. He probably was the leak. Might be the source.
Yeah, it's the leak.
So
just build it up even more. KB wants
like,
out.
Bro, yeah. Like, and it was just weird because I'm like, how does this come out? Because obviously I'm not talking to anybody and anything like that. So that was just weird. And like you say, you reached out to me. But I don't know. I just think like the whole situation where I just kind of felt like it was, for me personally, like silence is golden. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like I just had to kind of go dark for a little bit just because the simple fact is that, you know, it's very easy to get your emotions involved. You know what I'm saying? Obviously, when my agent told me, you know, obviously he had a conversation with the team and kind of reported back to me about everything. It was very easy to be emotional because I'd be lying if I didn't say I felt the way about it. You know what I'm saying? I'd be lying if I said that I didn't like, what? They asked for what? You know what I'm saying? So, but at the same time, like, there's no, like, you can't be emotional in business.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just being real, like, you make an emotional decision within y'all business, more than likely it's going to be bad business. You know what I'm saying? So I had to find a way to make sure that, you know, just to compartmentalize everything and just kind of keep my emotions out of it when I'm making these different decisions and stuff like that. So, yeah, man, it was, you know, it happened. You know what I mean? And I think we're in a good place right now.
Hmm.
What do we make of it?
I mean, first, I want to say this. Happy birthday to my niece, Lennon. She's 9 years old.
Happy birthday.
It's today. We celebrated our birthday party this weekend, but happy birthday, Lennon. I know you're in the car right now. It's pretty much, I think it's pretty much what I thought. And I think when it all came out, you know, I think we all sort of said as much. Like, listen, he knows. He's not going to take, you know, once you sort of hear what's being said, what they're asking of you, all of a sudden, you know, you do get your emotions tied up in it because of who you know you are as a player, what you've done for this organization. I'm not even saying sacrifice because my thing is, listen, this is a sport that you chose to play. You've been blessed to play it. The sacrifice, that's sacrifices for some other things, you know, and we can name those things. This is not sacrifice. This is something you're doing that you're passionate about. But I understood when a organization comes to you, a team comes to you after all of you've done and they asked you to take a pay cut, your first thought is, how dare they? As an organization, all that I've done, you can sort of list it out, all that I've done. And we talked about it. I even spoke on it. Like, listen, why are they asking Kevin Byard? This is a guy, when Vrabel was sitting everybody, he said, no, I'm playing. You know, even though that game meant nothing. No, I'm playing. He had a hell of a game that night. So why would you ask him, of all people, to take a pay cut? And I'm sure that's what he was thinking as well. But once he calmed down, he understood, like, listen, I'm going into my eighth year. I'm over 30. This is what comes with being a veteran player. They may, especially a veteran player at a spot that is not a premium spot. Premium spots, left tackle, quarterback, these days now wide receiver, a corner, defensive end, stuff like that, or defensive tackles. Safety is sort of down the line when you're talking about premium spots.
And that's something that Kevin Byard
mentioned that. Yeah.
I'm not a left tackle. I'm not a quarterback.
Exactly.
I get it.
Absolutely. So I'm sure when he heard it, yes, his emotions jumped in. But after a minute, it was like, okay, I know what I'm worth. I'm not going to take the pay cut. Whatever you choose to do after that, that's on you. I want to be here. I'm not asking to be for a trade or anything else. I'm just saying I'm not taking a pay cut because I'm the last person you should come to ask to take a pay cut because of what I've my body of work. And mind you, I've been healthy 100% of the time. And I've been out there ever since I became a starter 100% of the time. So ask somebody else for a pay cut. Don't ask me, or ask me to restructure the contract, but not just flat out take a pay cut. So I understood that was his train of thought. Whether he wanted a release or not, I don't know. I think I even said, you know, hey, listen, he probably was like, listen, I'm not taking a pay cut. If, you know, in your mind, you're thinking, if you want to cut me, you know, but I'm not asking to be cut. But if that's what you need to do, I don't like it, but you got to do what you got to do as an organization based upon your business model or where you're headed as an organization. If you think my contract is too much, then you either restructure it or you can release me because I'm not taking a pay cut. And ultimately, that's what it sort of boils down to even now, because he said, I think we're okay. You know, if you're asking me, I think we're okay. But I don't know, you know, as far as from a financial standpoint, are we okay? That's the way I saw it.
I would say, number one, let's give credit to Taylor Lewan and Will Compton for getting Kevin Byard to talk to them, mm-hmm. right? It
totally.
Sounds like it's a situation where Kevin Byard feels comfortable to talk openly, freely with those guys, and that's a credit to them. I mean, that was very open, unfiltered stuff from Kevin Byard, and you know, that's what we see sometimes in those settings, as opposed to at a podium where you know the straight up media is talking to them. So I thought we got a pretty clear viewpoint of what that was like for Kevin Byard. And I also think the Titans should be pretty thankful that Kevin Byard is a pretty level headed pro, right? There are some guys that, as you said, Derek, the natural emotion that hits you, some guys, that natural emotion doesn't go away, and they handle it differently. They get bitter, and they can't put it aside, right? Kevin, you know, came back around and said, okay, let's look at it from their side a little bit, and let's come to, you know, a little reasoning, understanding of why this is happening. It's not a reflection at me, the player, necessarily, but some people take it personal, and it stays that. Like, you can compartmentalize it if you're a pro like Kevin. Some guys can't do that.
Yeah, and I think that there are three major takeaways from me. And Willie, to your point, yes, credit to Will Compton and Taylor Lewan. And Kevin Byard even said that. Mm-hmm. He was like, you know, I come on a place like this because I feel like I can speak freely. So it's nice for us to have an outlet to hear athletes kind of speak unfiltered. Three big takeaways from me. First of all, Kevin Byard said he did not ask for a release. He said he was on vacation in Cabo with his family when he started hearing these reports that he asked for a release. So that's one thing. The second thing being, he said, I felt some type of way when mm-hmm. they asked me for a pay cut. And I don't blame him. We said that so many times. Mm-hmm. If he was angry or frustrated with the organization or with the situation, I get it. I don't blame you. I wouldn't take that very well if I was doing my job at a very high level and I was asked to take a pay cut. I get it. And Kevin Byard confirmed that. And I think third of all, at least from the Kevin Byard perspective, mm-hmm. he's saying, for me, I think we're in a good place. Mm-hmm. So I think that's important too. That, you know, hey, I felt some type of way. I took some time. I decided to be silent with it because I realized, hey, if I come out to Twitter and start talking about these things, that's not going to do anything but make the situation worse. I'll sit back. I'll go about my business. I'll take some time to think about it. And now at this point, he feels like they're in a good situation. They're in a good position. So those are my big takeaways from those three things that Kevin Byard had to say. And I think that what I want to get into coming up next, I think it provides a lot more clarity as to why Kevin Byard was so stunned when he was asked for a pay cut. And if maybe there were some rookie mistakes that were made in the handling of Kevin Byard's contract. We'll get into that coming up next. And, of course, your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, will join us at noon and 45 minutes. 1025-1063, The Game.
I ended last year and was like, you know, talking to my agent, like, bro, like, I'm going to get extension. Like, I want to be here. But, you know, I did the clean out day and the media and everything. And I'm like, bro, like, I don't want to play for another organization. Like, this is my legacy. I love it here in Nashville. And so, you know, I have a conversation with my agent at the end of the season, like, because I kind of know, like, I'm a very business savvy person. I'm kind of smart. Like, I understand that. And this is, and I feel like we can pivot after this, but like kind of talking about John, and John was trying to sell out as much as he could to build a championship team. And so for myself, like, I restructured my contract twice. The first time I think was to sign Clowney. And the second time was, I think after I went all pro or something like that, restructured again. It might've been to sign Robert. It was something like that.
Yeah.
Because like you're trying to bring on talent. So you're trying to, you know, create cap space. But what that does is what most people don't realize, and what it does is it increases your cap hit later in the life of your contract. So that's a situation where, like you said, you get a new GM that comes in. He just looks at this sheet and just like, man, I have, like, for example, you know, obviously you got released. Mm-hmm. Ben Jones got released. Bud got released. He's looking like, okay, the roster's a little bit weird. We're a little bit older now.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I got to clear cap space. I got to clear cap space from anywhere. And so, like I said, I mean, that was my idea of going into the conversation. So my agent called me. He was like, hey, it kind of went another way. So, like, obviously I wasn't in the room, so I don't really know exactly how, like, was it a situation where it's like, hey, we want to do extension. They just went the complete opposite way.
That was Kevin Byard on Bussin' with the Boys, the newest episode that released this morning, writing a little bit of clarity from his perspective of exactly what went down from the point of the conclusion of the season last year to the team asking him to take a pay cut and to now. And Kevin Byard was saying, hey, I finished up the season. I played all 17 games. I had a good year. From his perspective, he thought that he was getting an extension. And I can understand why he would think that. And I can understand why Kevin Byard would want an extension. Who wouldn't want an extension for their job? And then he's saying, hey, my agent said, actually, it's going in quite the opposite direction. Mm-hmm. We asked you to take a pay cut. So I don't blame him for feeling some type of way. You thought you were going to get extended. Now, all of a sudden, you feel a little bit disrespected. I get it.
I don't know why he thought.
But he did also point out why the cap is real. Sorry, Jared. He said most people don't realize, and I can see this, right, that when you restructure, it pushes the cap hit down the road. It eventually, it gets bigger and bigger, and that's what the issue is. It's the only issue for Rand Carthon. And we mentioned it the day of. Remember, we were at the sports bar, mm-hmm. and we were watching the NCAA tournament when this hit in March. And I equated it to when the teacher comes in and looks at the sheet, right, and it's got the red pen and circling mistakes on your test or on your paper, you know, grammatical errors or whatever. You know, you go down the list, you know, what's a good, healthy cap number for this player? You know, where can I find money? Who should be, you know, what are some of the issues? I said you put a big red circle around 19.849265. That's the cap hit for Kevin Byard this year, according to SpotRac, right? Now, that may not be 100% accurate, but it's a big number for a safety at his age, no matter how good it is. So that's where the conflict hit, because for the average fan who doesn't study the cap, it doesn't make any sense, right? Why would you not want Kevin Byard? It's not about that at all. It's about the fact that they had restructured his contract twice, as he said, and it's got a big number for a player at his position at his age.
Well, Rand was probably thinking, like, why in the hell did they restructure it twice? I can see you doing it once, but restructuring it twice, I can't restructure it once again. And as a aging player, you got to recognize those things, because if they've asked you to do it once and you did it once and then they come back to you a second time, it's like If I indeed take another, you know, restructure another contract,
mm-hmm. on an existing contract,
it's going to more than likely make me a candidate to be released sooner rather than later. And if I restructure twice, and I can't in my mind think, oh, they're going to ask me to restructure again. Mm-hmm. I just can't do that because I've already did it twice. And if you're looking at the organization and you're sort of seeing where they're going, you in your mind as a player, as you're getting older, in your mind you're thinking, they're not going to ask me to restructure again. They're not, because they would be fools to ask me to restructure again. Now, I will do it because that means I'm going to get more money up front and we can lengthen out the contract a little bit more. But as an organization, you would be a damn fool to restructure an individual's contract three times. Because what you're steady pushing money as a guy's getting older, you're pushing money mm-hmm. down the road. And eventually you're going to have to either release that player, or that player's going to retire, and you're still going to be held on to the monies that you push down the road. It's still going to count against your cap.
You're still going to have to pay out that contract exactly. no matter when it is.
So why am I going to restructure for the third time? I could see doing it one time, mm-hmm. possibly twice. But as an organization, I'm not doing it no more. We got to try to find a common ground here. Either we got to redo the whole deal, or I got to ask you to take a pay cut. And if you don't take a pay cut, now we got to reevaluate. Okay. Does he mean this? What is his impact when he's on the team, and what do we believe his impact will be if he's not on the team? That's the way you gotta, you know, sort of approach it, because eventually you're gonna have to make a decision on Kevin Byer mm-hmm. either this year or next year. It seems like they're not going to, at this point, I don't know if they're gonna do something or not. If they do make a trade, I would be surprised, but not that surprised. I would be more surprised if they released him. I don't think that's going to happen. But you got to come to a realization that I'm getting older. This money is sitting there, whether it be this year, next year, or year after. The money's sitting there. And this organization is not going to continue to pay me at that price. They're just not. Unless you're a quarterback. Mm-hmm. Not even a left tackle. They're not going to continue to do that with a left tackle. The Titans in the past have been burned, and I mean burned big time, when they kept pushing contracts down the road. And then ultimately, instead of, you know, getting rid of one or two people, you got to get rid of three, four, five, six people, because you kept restructuring contracts and kept pushing the money down the road. Now, I don't know.
That was your situation.
Exactly. And they had that with other guys.
And that stung bad.
And they had that with other guys. So, I don't know what they're going to do with Kevin this year.
And I don't either. And I don't know if Kevin Byer knows.
Yeah, he probably don't even know.
And
really,
that's part of the problem. Mm-hmm. Because Kevin Byer continued on and basically talked about, you know, his conversation with Rand Carthon and the question of, okay, where do we go next? This was Kevin Byer.
But when I got the news, I was like, wow. Like, honestly, I was like, I didn't know how I was going to go, because I'm like, I've never seen, at least from my preference, or at least from my view, a player, you know, get asked for a pay cut and then, you know, usually more than likely get released or something like that. Right. Or, you know what I'm saying? You take the pay cut, or it's like you're gone. So I didn't really understand how it was going to happen. So I was kind of preparing my mind for every different scenario. And I just felt that, for me personally, like, it's no point of trying to jump on a podcast or jumping on this, because you may be still a little bit emotional right now.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to let this thing kind of, you know, discuss with your family, kind of really process everything from every angle before you, you know, go talking about it and stuff like that.
And so Kevin Byer said, and I didn't know what was going to happen next. Mm-hmm. Kevin Byer mentioned in that podcast, he said, you know, I know normally if players are asked to take a pay cut and they say no, then a lot of times those players get cut. I do think that's kind of a rookie mistake on Rand Carthon. He's a first-time general manager. He's going to go through these growing pains. He's going to make some of these rookie mistakes. But to ask a player like Kevin Byer to take a pay cut, one, I think is a mistake. And two, to not have all of your ducks in a row when you do ask that player to take a pay cut. Because Rand Carthon has to know mm-hmm. that when you ask a player to take a pay cut, they're probably going to say no. You got to have a plan B. You got to be able to have that conversation of, okay, if you say yes, this is what it looks like. If you say no, then this is how we're going to have to move forward. Mm-hmm. Either we cut you, or we just, you know, cut our losses and say, okay, fine, then we're going to pay you on the $19 million cap hit that you have this year. But I think that's kind of on Rand Carthon a bit, on a little bit of a rookie mistake, the way that he handled this entire Kevin Byard situation from the very beginning until now. Because not even Kevin Byard knew what was going to come next for himself. And I don't think that's treating one of your star players that's done every single thing right very well.
I mean, it's sports. Regardless if you've done everything completely right or you haven't, you know, eventually they come knocking at your door. And either you're going to get cut, they're going to ask you to take a pay cut, one of the two. Or, you know, obviously, and they've done that with Kevin Byard, asked him to restructure. But eventually, you know, after a few of those restructuring, they're not then going to come the third time and ask you to restructure. They're going to ask you to take a pay cut.
And they could have asked him to restructure again, or they could have restructured the contract again. You push it down the line.
I don't think Rand Carthon was in the business of restructuring a contract on an aging player. As good as Kevin Byard has been, you know, I think
agreed.
I think in his mind, when Kevin Byard says, yes, I want to redo the deal, he's hoping that, but in all likelihood, a guy at that position, aging, we've already restructured you twice. In your mind, you can't think, or your agent to tell you, more than likely, man, I'm just being honest with you, they're not going to redo the deal. They're not. Either they're going to allow you to play on the deal and let you play the contract out, or they may ask you to take a pay cut, regardless of how good you've been playing. Because again, it's not a premium position. Mm-hmm. If he's the quarterback, left tackle, defensive end, defensive tackle, yeah, we may be able to talk. And you're still playing at that level. Yeah, let's talk about some things. But certain positions, they're not going to just continue to push money. And Rand probably in his mind is like, listen, that was John that did that. We're not in the business of doing that anymore. We did it twice, this organization. Unfortunately, now I have to be the bad guy to ask you to take a pay cut. Because I think if John was here too, he would ask him to take a pay cut again. John would ask him to take a pay cut.
I think that's the thing. That's why I would say it's not a rookie mistake, because there's no easy way to do it.
Yeah, it's not.
Like Derek said, it's just the business. It's what John Robinson probably would have been facing. And only because Kevin Byard is so durable and so professional, can they even entertain the idea of playing at this? Plus, the dead cap hit is so big, 13.6 this year, according to SpotRack. You know, the reward of cutting him isn't that big. They don't get that much more, so you might as well just keep him this year. Next year is a different story. But that, I think Rand Carthon is doing what almost any GM would have to try to do. There's no easy way to do it.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Kevin Byard also provided a little bit of clarity as to why he wasn't at OTAs. We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline Willie DeMace is brought to you by the News End Sportsbook. With cash rewards and the easiest, simplest betting experience possible, betting just got better. Download the Zen Sportsbook app today. 1025-1063, the game.
Me now, like, bro, I was working out. Bro, I ain't gonna lie, like, the day after the Super Bowl, like, and I'm not just going crazy working out, but like, I'm doing Peloton, I'm cycling, started getting back into shape, kind of, you know, working my way into it. And I've had thoughts about this for the past couple years. Was like, being in the same team, being with Vrabel, like me and Vrabel could be in the meeting room coaching the team right now, and I kind of already know what he's going to say. Mm-hmm. When he's asking the question, you know, he's kind of, hey, asking a rookie, this, I can already answer the question. Ben Jones would be the same way. And it's like, I had already kind of, my mind was like, the way I've been ramping up my training, how hard I train. You can ask anybody that's ever trained with me, know how hard I go. It's like, you already ramped up. You've been working out since mid-February, all the way up to April. Why taper it back? Why don't you keep going? I mean, I'm already in meetings. I'm doing Zooms with Coach Book, safety coaches, kind of in tune with what's going on. So, bro, I wanted to be able to keep going and keep pushing this thing, keep pushing the limits of my training instead of just going back. It really had nothing to do with the whole contract stuff, because I'd have had these conversations with myself January.
That was Kevin Byard. He was on Bussin' with the Boys on their latest episode released this morning. Kevin Byard gave a little bit of a peek behind the curtain of from when this all started, when the Titans asked him to take a pay cut, how he felt about it, the subsequent conversations with his agent. And one of the biggest things once OTAs kicked off was, where's Kevin Byard? Why isn't he there? And if we hadn't known the information about the Titans asking him to take a pay cut and he wasn't there, I don't think it would have been as big of a deal. Because it wasn't necessarily just the idea that Kevin Byard wasn't at OTAs. It was the fact that Kevin Byard wasn't at OTAs just mere months after the team asked him to take a pay cut. That's kind of a red flag there. And Kevin Byard talking about, well, you know, hey, I was staying in shape. I was doing my own thing. It's what I had decided to do the day after the Super Bowl, is just take a couple months to myself, work out on my own. Totally fair. Totally get it. That's kind of reiterating a sentiment that he mentioned at the podium when he spoke with the media at mandatory minicamp. And Kevin Byard and Taylor Lewan were kind of discussing OTAs, how in their perspectives, really wasn't that big of a deal. This was Kevin Byard and Taylor Lewan.
There's not a whole lot of a reason for you to be at OTAs, unless it's like a leadership perspective.
And honestly, like, even I think like OTAs, and Vrabel would tell you, like, OTAs is about learning.
Mm-hmm.
It's about, especially if you're a new guy coming on a team from another team, learning like the verbiage, speaking the same language. And also just for young rookies that's just getting to the league, like, it's about learning the defense. Like, nobody's winning the job in OTAs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as much as people want to put articles out there, what's the position battles like? There's no position battles going on in OTAs.
Right.
It's about learning, and obviously guys, and you still getting this, because it's a 9-week program. Guys are still getting back into shape,
mm-hmm.
Trying to get in the best shape. But then, you know, we always talk, and coach always talk about those 5 or 6 weeks that you're away during the summertime. It's like, it's not a time to chill and vacation time. It's time to continue to ramp up.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think guys just, you know, it's about learning. And so I think that it's also a plus that some of these younger guys are able to go up there and get the reps that I probably would have been taking if I was there.
I get it. That's not the first time that we've heard that from a player or an NFL alum of, hey, OTAs are for learning. I get it. But why all of a sudden were this year's OTAs different than last year's or the year before or the year before, the years that Kevin Byard was still a veteran?
Mm-hmm.
Still was not in a position battle, yet was at OTAs. That's my thing. What's different about this year?
I don't know if there's if you're looking at it from just looking at the big picture, I don't think there's much difference. But if you start to sort of, you know, focus the lens, you know, on his career and where he's at as a player, it is different because as I get older, I have to start doing things a little bit different for my body. When I started to get up, you know, 27, 28, I knew that right after the season stopped, I knew that I had about a week to sort of calm my body down. Luckily for me, I didn't have to have any, you know, off season, you know, end of season surgeries or anything else. So I made sure that first week I just kind of, you know, kind of calm myself down, detach myself from the season mentally, emotionally, regardless, you know, depending on what happened. And then I jump right back in it because, and I'm still, I'm that way now. It's like I gotta be working out. I have, my body has to be in motion. And as a veteran guy, you understand that, you know, it may take your body just a little bit longer to get back to where you want it to be. So you got to start that process a lot earlier. And Kevin even mentioned that. Like, listen, I started right away, like early February. As soon as the season was done, I started right back. Just cardio, nothing hard, just cardio. So when I do ramp it up, it's not like I'm starting from ground zero. I think that's what's different from this year than in previous years, because now he's sort of, not sort of, but he is tailoring, you know, his workouts to himself, and because he knows what he needs.
Which so I
that's
totally
going to,
get.
That's going to put him away from the team. And he's already discussed with Vrabel, like, listen, OTAs, I understand what that's for, but I've been in this system 5 years now with the same defensive coordinator. You know, so I know this defense in and out. So that affords me the opportunity or the ability to not have to come to OTAs. I'm still going to do the Zoom meetings. I'm still going to do the classroom stuff. But I'm not going to start a regiment, stop for 3-4 weeks, and then start up. I hated that. Like, I completely hated that. Like, I told him, I said, listen, I would come and do some extra stuff. Like, after I worked out, I would come and do what I needed to do for the team. But yeah. I wasn't going to stop doing what I was doing because I was already in the flow of it. So why stop for 2 or 3 weeks, 4 weeks, just because the team has stuff going on, OTAs, which we're really not doing anything. Right. And he was right. I think that's what makes it different this year for him, because he understands now there are things that I need as an aging veteran player in order to still continue to play at this level. It's going to take me away from the team, but it's going to take me away from the team at a time where I really don't need to be there. So that's the difference for me in regards to Kevin not being at OTAs this year as opposed to like in previous years.
And I totally understand that. But I still don't understand how that's different from last year.
It's just
because he still would have had to stop his training regimen last year to be here for OTAs. He would have had to do the same thing the year before. It is awfully suspect to me that the year that he doesn't do that, that he doesn't show up to OTAs, is mere months after the team has to take a pay cut.
And that it could it could be him saying, this is sort of my stance.
Like, and I'm not going above and beyond for you if you are going to go behind my back and ask me for less money.
It could be that. I'm not saying it's not, but I'm just going by, you know, experience. What I chose to do as I started to get in my late 20s, and I'm making it seem like that's old, but as I started to get in my late 20s, going into my 30s, I knew what my body needed. And how the things I needed to do to make sure during the season I was going to be at peak level. Like, they didn't have to worry about Mason coming back not in shape because they knew I would be. So they didn't question it. And then it was a little bit different back then, too, because we had more days and all this other stuff.
More things that were required.
Exactly.
It's a different, you know, CBA now.
Absolutely.
Yeah. 6-1.
And I think that it helps that Mike Vrabel understands the player's perspective. Deeply respects Kevin Byard. He's one of Vrabel's guys. So that helped the situation. And look, let's be honest. There's no question that it is different this year, partially, if not fully. Derek, I know what you're saying. There's no question. Both formulas can work to have a veteran get ready for the season, either go to OTAs or not. Kevin Byard's a pro. He'll be ready either way. But I do think there was a message being sent with him not being there.
Right.
But Mike Vrabel, you heard him understand that. He knows the deal. He's been there too.
Right. I never would have questioned if Kevin Byard was going to be in shape or not, in game shape or not. That was never a concern that came across my mind. And if anyone was concerned about that, then I don't think they know Kevin Byard enough, because that was never a doubt in my mind that Kevin Byard was going to be good to go. It's the message, like Willie said. It's the message. It's the practicing of as much leverage as they can possibly practice. We are right to your phones on this coming up next. We see your texts and your calls lining up. We are right to you coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Like I said, I think Rand's a good guy. He's cool, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't have any ill feelings towards the whole situation. It is what it is. You know what I'm saying?
You've had time to process his emotions.
Yeah, it is what it is, bro. It's like, you kind of just take it for what it is. And, you know, obviously, you know, they asked to take a pay cut and I said no. You know what I'm saying? It was just, and that was not just an emotional, because I think people kind of, you know, people on social media be quick, like, yeah, KV, tell them no. You know what I'm saying? Like, nah, I had nothing to do. It's all business stuff. You know what I'm saying? So I didn't like how it obviously leaked out there in the media that I asked to be released.
Yeah.
Because it was BS. I was like, what? Because, you know what I'm saying? It's kind of painting a bad narrative to saying that, oh, I'm just disgruntled. I don't want to be here no more.
Right, it makes you seem emotional.
He's making moves.
Yeah.
He's fighting my guys. I don't want to be here no more. Because that's not, you know, it's further from the truth. So that one thing I didn't like. But other than that, man, it's just business, man. We just...
That was Kevin Byard. He was on Bussin' with the Boys this morning. Kind of provided a little bit of his insight, his perspective, from the Titans asking him to take a pay cut. The report out there that he requested a release from the Titans, him not going to OTAs, the subsequent months after the Titans asking him to take a pay cut, just kind of behind the scenes, inside baseball of what Kevin Byard was thinking. Let's get your thoughts on it. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Jack is on the line with a thought on Kevin Byard. What's up, Jack?
Derek, I had two questions.
Yes.
If he would take a pay cut this year, could they run some kind of deal where he can sign a new deal next year and make up at least some of the money? And the other question I had is, for signed players, in the off season, are you allowed to or required even to work out at the facility, you know, where they can keep an eye on you? And I'll hang up and listen. Thanks.
Thank you for the call, Jack. Other than what's mandatory, the camps that are mandatory, you're not required to work out at the facility. Now, some guys, they do because it's more convenient for them, you know, and it's easier for them. And typically it's young players. But no, you're not, at least not now, I don't think anyway, you're not required to work out mm-hmm. at the facility unless it's mandatory that you be at the facility. Then you got to get your workouts in because it's mandatory that you be there. Now, the first question in regards to his contract and, you know, him, he has 1 year, right? This is his last year on his deal?
Correct.
Okay.
Well, he's got one more.
Oh, so yes, this year and then next year.
This year and next year?
Next year.
Okay,
yes, and
then
there's
two.
Then there are two voidable years.
Yes.
Two voidable years, if I'm reading this right. And I do not claim to have a master's degree in spot rack and NFL salary cap, because you got to have an advanced knowledge of this stuff.
No, that is correct. But he's on the hook for this year, next season, two dummy years, and then he's a UFA in 25.
Yeah. So I mean,
yeah, and so the dead cap next year, it would be really interesting. Mm-hmm. To see if it plays out the way we think it's going to. Well, they're going to swallow a big chunk of the remaining part of this contract this year and have him play at 19.6, which is very high for a safety, as we know. But he's worth it. I think, right, based on all the choices, they've chosen to do this. If they didn't think he was worth it, he'd have been cut a long time ago, as he said. He said it himself when we played that clip. And so we're getting a lot of mileage out of this conversation he had with the bus and the boys guys. But next year, his cap hit's still big, 17.8, and the dead money goes from 13.6 to 8.1. So that might be a little more having to lean towards cutting him if his play drops off, because he's still at a really high level at 17.8. So it's a product of having restructured twice. And remember where John Robinson was at the time. He was trying to win. Mm-hmm. He was going for it. They were in a window where they thought, hey, one more guy like a Jadeveon Clowney or who, you know, that was who he
Julio Jones.
Julio Jones. Hey, maybe that's what we need to put us over the top and win. I understand. It was a risk. It didn't work for either of those two players, but I understood why they did it. They had the rest of the roster where they wanted to. So they took their swing, and they swung and missed, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But I understand why they did it. But now they got to deal with the restructure of Bayard.
See, here's the problem. If outside of being the quarterback, because I think the quarterback position, even if you're, you know, a top 15 quarterback, say if you're a top 15 quarterback, sort of what Ryan Tannehill is going through. If you're one of those guys, there's more security in restructuring and sort of moving the money around and everything else. There's more security in a quarterback's mind, because I'm one of the top 15 quarterbacks in the National Football League. And as long as I continue to play well and continue to be the leader of this team, more than likely, you know, they're not going to, after they've restructured me a couple of times, they're not going to just cut me after that, even if I have a few dummy years.
And restructuring really, honestly, is a better thing for the player. You get more money up front. That's
yeah,
cash
you
that's
do,
in your
but
pocket.
But here's what people don't understand, especially in Kevin Byard's case. If you're not the quarterback, see, the quarterback, is the world operates different when it comes to a quarterback. Totally different. So when you're continuing to restructure and doing all that stuff, the quarterback, as long as I can just continue to play, because this is a premium position, everybody can't play this position. As long as I give my team a shot at winning with me underneath center and a shot at getting to the Super Bowl, you can restructure. You see what Patrick Mahomes is doing? They're just going to continue to restructure that thing until he can't throw the ball anymore.
And why wouldn't you? He makes a ton of money. You clear up cap space. You add more weapons for Patrick Mahomes. You capitalize on the window. It makes sense.
Absolutely. But they operate in a different world, different stratosphere than everybody else operates in. Kevin can't – I'm not going to even say Kevin, a safety can't operate in that sort of space.
Right.
Because even if I restructure or take a pay cut, that doesn't guarantee me on the team next year. Yeah. Hell, it may not even guarantee me on the team this year, but I'm a little bit more secure this year because I've gave you a bone. Like, okay, here, you can restructure it, do some things. I'll take a pay cut to add more people. So at least by me doing that, show goodwill, good faith, then you're going to keep me on the team this year. Next year, you're not going to be on the team. They're going to eventually move on away from you unless you show them that you are a guy that's ascending, that you are continuing to go up rather than sort of level out or plateau. If you show that you're just leveling out or you're going downhill, they're going to cut you the next following year because they can do it now. Willie mentioned it. That dead cap hit goes from 13 to 8. Now it's easier for me to cut you. I just asked you to take a pay cut. You took a pay cut. Now I'm going to cut you the next following year. So there's no security beyond this season. So why am I going to take a pay cut?
But a pay cut is different than a restructure.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, because in a pay cut, you're just getting less money.
But then
a restructure, you're just moving things around. You're creating cap space by getting more money up front, by creating some of those dummy years.
But
I don't think you have insurance, period. Unless you're an elite player and a young elite player, you don't have insurance, period.
But you're still getting whatever they restructure, you're still getting the money that is owed to you that year. You're still going to get it.
It just comes in different forms.
Yeah, just in different forms. But that doesn't mean they can't cut you still the next following year. So, Kevin, he did what was best for him. You know, this has nothing to do with the team. This has everything to do with him. Again, I'm still playing at a good level. Why then should I take a pay cut? Because even if I take a pay cut, you're going to cut me. You're going to cut me next year.
I don't blame him at all for saying no to a pay cut.
Exactly. I don't blame him for doing that.
And that is the gamble. I think that is the gamble he took, essentially. When they asked his agent, will you take a pay cut? He had to decide, will they cut me if I say no? Because most of the time, if you say no,
they cut you.
You're cut. Mm-hmm. But only because he's that good still at his age. He doesn't miss any time. And he's the professional that he is. He could win that gamble, right? Most, I would say 80 to 90% of the players would have been cut, but Byard is that special. Do you agree with that, D-Mace? Because that's just how the business works.
No,
you get cut.
You get cut. But what he's doing, and my kids just hit me to this yesterday, the kids and their mom, it's this social equity, the social media, or just social equity.
Uh-huh.
Kevin has built up a lot of social equity within not just the team, but this community.
The city of Nashville, yeah.
What he has done outside of football. We know what he can do on a football field, but what he has done outside of the football has built up sort of this social equity. So when the Titans do come and they may ask him to do something and he says no, like in this situation, mm-hmm. take a pay cut. No, I'm not taking a pay cut. All right, Titans got to back up now because they just can't now flat out cut him. Because why? One, he's still a good player, and he's built up so much social equity within the city of Nashville, Murfreesboro, and everywhere else that you just can't release a guy like that. You got to justify why releasing him. And if you say the justification is, well, he makes too much money, that's not a justification.
Which is why I say that it was a rookie move for Rand Carthon to ask Kevin Byard to take a pay cut. Because Kevin Byard was coming off of a season where he was the only star player, core player on that team that played all 17 games and played at a really high level, at such a high level that he thought that he deserved an extension.
I don't think it was a rookie
mistake. And then
Rand
Carthon comes around and says, no, actually, we think that you deserve less money, even though you've done everything right, even though you are a model citizen and a model player within this organization, and that you're going to come in, ask me to take a pay cut. I'm going to say no and exercise my leverage, and what are you going to do about it? You're going to say, okay, well, then we'll just go ahead and have you play on this on your cap hit this year. Well, that's not a very good look. Now that you've kind of tarnished your relationship with Kevin Byard and asking him to take a pay cut and you don't have a plan B.
I don't think they necessarily tarnished it, But again, because of this social equity that Kevin Byard has built up, they felt that he was probably the only guy they could go to and ask something like that. Like, would you take a pay cut? Why? Because you've built up all this equity within the community. We want you here, so you're going to do a solid. Like, because I want to be here.
If I'm Kevin Byard, I'm saying I've done you plenty of solids.
But that's just how this organization, I mean, not just this organization. Let me rephrase that. That's how organizations operate. They're going to ask you the hard question first. And then if you say no, it's just okay. Now let's reevaluate. We have some other things that we possibly can do, but he said no.
But the Titans are very lucky that Kevin Byard and also Derrick Henry are players that understand that this is a business. Because if Kevin Byard was so angry at the organization for asking him to take a pay cut.
I'm sure he was at one point.
That he did demand a release from the team. And Kevin Byard said that he didn't. Mm-hmm. But if he did, I wouldn't blame him. There's probably a whole lot of players in the league that would have been so mad at the organization and so felt so disrespected from the organization to ask to take a pay cut that they probably wouldn't play.
Oh, he
play
was.
There anymore.
He was. He said in the podcast, like, that's why I didn't want to go on any podcast.
But he got to a point where he was like, look, I get it's a business. Mm-hmm. Derrick Henry also said the same thing. Look, I get it's a business. And I think the Titans are very fortunate that they have players that do understand that it's a business. I know players do get it. But I wouldn't blame players if they felt so disrespected that they would want to be severed from the organization. So I think the Titans are just lucky that Kevin Byard didn't have that kind of reaction, because he very well could have. And if Kevin Byard did ask to be released from the team, if the Titans did release Kevin Byard, then what do you do? It puts themselves in a really sticky situation. And I think that the reaction from Kevin Byard was incredibly professional, as he does everything very professionally. But you can't always bank on players just understanding that this is a business. Because I know it is. We all understand that it's a business. There's also a whole lot of emotions tied into that as well. Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, will join us coming up next. Caroline Willie-DeMace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.